Yesterday was the celebration of the appearance in this world of Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Today is also a festival, Jagannath Mishra Mahotsav. Actually, in some ways, the day following is more of a festival because the appearance day, just like Janmashtami, it's a fasting day. And the next day is the actual festival, means there should be some feast. So the feast is today. And that's at midday. So you can say the festival's over. But anyway, we're still in the mood. Shaito Esheche. Braja Hote Nadi Ai Shaito Esheche. Basu Ghosh, the poet, says, he has come from Vraja to Nadia. He has come. So we're still in that mood. So I'll speak this evening about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Who is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. There can be many answers to that question. He is Vishvamba Mishra, son of Jagannath Mishra. He is the Gadadhara Madana, he who maddens Gadada, Advaita Prapujita, who is worshipped by Advaita, who is Radha Bhavapur, Madhava Radha Bhavapur. These are all names that Bhaktivinoda Thakur has given to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Madhava, he is Madhava, husband of the goddess of fortune. Radha Bhavapur, who is full of the emotions of Radharani. But the ontological or the basic fact of who is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is described in the beginning of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. Yadadvaitam brahmo parishadi apyasya tanubha ya atmanta yami purusha iti so syangsa vibhavaha shadaishvaryai purno yaiha sasvayamayam na chaitanyat krishnat jagati paratatvam parameha. That the effulgence of Brahma Jyoti, which is described in the Upanishads, is the light emanating from his body, the transcendental light emanating from his body. The Antaryami, the supersoul in everyone's heart, is but an expansion of his expansion. He is the Supreme Person. He is, Bhagavan, full of six opulences. So this describes Krishna, doesn't it? But na chaitanyat krishnaj jagati. This is describing Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. We don't find anyone greater than he. So how this is so is described in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You all accept that? No one doubts it? Okay, good. Because not everyone accepts it. A lot of people don't accept it. And even many people who are devotees and appreciate this Krishna conscious movement, they don't accept that Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the Supreme Lord. That means there are other Vaishnava Sampradayas. Mahaprabhu, in the Vallabh Sampradaya, they call Vallabhacharya, they call him Mahaprabhu. And Madhva Sampradaya, Sri Vaishnava Sampradaya, they don't accept him as the Supreme Lord. About 2 years ago, I was in Udupi, and one ISKCON devotee came to me and said that he had met a young man of them who is studying in the Sanskrit college or Gurukul or something. He was a young Madhva Brahmin. And this young Madhva Brahmin had questioned the ISKCON devotee and said that he couldn't work it out, because on the one hand he didn't accept that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the Supreme Lord, because he didn't, in their sampradaya they don't know of any Shastra Praman for that. On the other hand, he sees so many ISKCON devotees come to Udupi. You all know Udupi? It's the center of the Madhva Sampradaya, near to Mangalore. He said, on the other hand, he sees so many followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu who are obviously bhaktiman. They have devotion. So he couldn't put the two things, he couldn't work it out. How is that possible? So he said that, well, if you give me if you tell me Shastra Praman, I'll accept it, because we can't accept anything without Shastra Praman. So that's a very good statement. In fact, that's what convinced me to join the Krishna Conscious Movement in the first place, because I didn't want any just bogus idea that people just dream up out of their heads. It should be something authoritative. So, and the devotee asked me, what's the Shastra Praman? Well, actually there is Shastra Praman, but it requires, okay, 5 dinars. Put a sign on the door, no joke. Put a sign on the door for those who are coming. 5 dinars, fine. But no, you didn't appoint anyone to do it, so it'll just be a joke, that's all. And the cell phones will continue ringing, because you just think it's a joke. But I think it's very impolite to have your cell phone going off and during the class. It's definitely a disturbance. All right, so it's all just a big joke. We're not talking anything serious here. I volunteer. Okay, take the 5 dinars. You have to do it immediately. Put a sign on the door for new people coming. You didn't take the 5 dinars, you just took the phone. He doesn't get the phone back unless he pays the fine. Yeah. Yeah. All right, now the flow got a bit cut. So, why should we accept Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as the Supreme Lord? There's so many in India, there's so many supposed incarnations, isn't it? Practically every area of India has their own avatar, and so many areas have more than one. In Bengal they have so many, it's just it's really ridiculous. So why should we, is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, are we accepting him like that? There is very good evidence, actually. What is the topmost shastra for giving all praman or evidence? Anyone? Srimad Bhagavatam is established by Jiva Goswami as the topmost praman. And that's also stated that among the teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that one of them is Srimad Bhagavatam Pramanam Amalam. Maybe you've heard Srimad Bhagavatam Puranam Amalam. That comes in the Bhagavatam itself. But the teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are summarized. You should know all this information. We're supposed to be followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Aradhyo Bhagavan Vrajesha Tanayas Taddhama Vrindavanam Ramya Kachid Upasana Vrajavadhu Vargena Ya Kalpita Srimad Bhagavatam Pramanam Amalam Prema Pumarto Mahan Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhur Matamidam Tatradaro Nahpara. The teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Matamidam. This is the opinion, and when it's the opinion, it's just like in Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna says, this is my matam. When it's Krishna's matam, that means it's a fact. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he says that the Supreme Lord is to be worshipped. Who is that Supreme Lord? Aradhyo Bhagavan. Bhagavan is to be worshipped. Who is that Supreme Lord? Vrajesha Tanaya, Krishna. Specifically, Krishna in Vrindavan, the son of Nanda Maharaj. Taddhama Vrindavanam. His dham is Vrindavan. And the topmost mode of worship is that of the gopis of Vrindavan. Srimad Bhagavatam is the topmost evidence. Prema is the topmost achievement. These are the teachings. So Srimad Bhagavatam is the topmost evidence. And the best evidence, Shastric Praman, for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is in Srimad Bhagavatam. What is that verse? Krishna Varnam Twisha Krishnam Sangopangastra Parshadam Yagyair Sankirtanayar Prayar Yajantihi Sumedasaha. In Kali Yuga, intelligent people, there are not that many intelligent people in Kali Yuga, because the very nature of Kali Yuga is Mandasumandamati, not intelligent, dull-headed. So those who are intelligent in Kali Yuga, they worship Krishna, who has come with Twisha Akrishna. His bodily luster is not Krishna. It's not black. They worship him by the process of Sankirtan. So if it's not Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then who is it? Ascertainment by negation. Who has spread Sankirtan? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He is known as Triyu. Okay. There we go. Take it.
We have announced many times that switch off the mobile while you are switching off.
Take the phone.
Switch off.
You should do this in every class, because it's a great disturbance. In every class, people are so inconsiderate, they don't think to turn off their phone. They go every 3 or 4 minutes, someone's phone is going off. Now, one of the names of Narayana is Triyugi. It means he appears in three yugas. But then the avatar for Kali Yuga is also described. So how is that? Chandakala is also described in Srimad Bhagavatam. Chandakala Yadabhavat Atais Tri Yuga. The name is given Tri Yuga because in Kali Yuga he is covered. So he doesn't appear in the same way that other avatars appear. He's a covered incarnation. The Shastra's Praman is there. We also find in Vishnu Sahasranam in Mahabharata. Suvarna Varno Hemango Varangas Chandarangadi Sanyasa Kritchrama Shanto Nishtha Shanti Parayana. These are two halves, or taken from two verses of Vishnu Sahasranam. Suvarna Varna Hemango. His two names both mean that he is golden. So it could be said that this is the appearance of the Lord in the sun planet, but it better applies to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and particularly sannyasakrit. He accepts sannyas. There is no known avatar of the Lord who accepts sannyas. Of course, we could say that Rishabdev was renowned, Buddhadev, they become renounced, but officially accepting sannyas, we only know of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So there is Shastra Praman, but in the case of this young Madhva boy, actually I gave a whole lecture on this, which I'm not going to give now. Again, you can get it. It's in that, there's a DVD with about 150 lectures in there, so it's in there somewhere. No, it's actually, I gave it once in Hindi and once in English. Anyway, the point is that, yes, we can understand Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as the Supreme Lord by Shastra Praman, but it requires a different perspective of looking at Shastra. Generally, we try to understand what is in Shastra by tattva vichar, by philosophical understanding. But there is another area of tattva. Tattva in general means understanding things as they are. So if we are to understand who is Bhagawan, then we will have to understand him by his greatness, isn't it? Because Bhagawan means asamurdva. No one is equal to him, no one is higher than him. Matav parataram nanyat kinchidasti. In Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna states the simple definition of Bhagawan, and no one is equal to him, no one is greater than him. So who is Bhagawan? What is the nature of Bhagawan? That will be ascertained by tattva vichar. And the summary is there in Bhagavad Gita. There's that verse is there, that mayi protamidam sarvam sutre manigana eva. That even, it's a very good example. We may say, well, I don't see God, but we can infer his existence even without seeing him, just like you don't see the thread that keeps the... It's exactly the example given, except that it's given of a necklace of pearls, and this is a necklace of something much more valuable than pearls, of tulsi beads. So you don't see the thread that holds this up, but you know there must be a thread there, because it cannot remain without that. So Lord Krishna gives this example, that he is just like the thread which holds everything together. And aham sarvasya prabhavo matah sarvam pravartate. Everything comes from him. He is the source of everything. So these are the definitions of Bhagawan, the greatest. But there is another consideration also. Now especially the Madhva Sampradaya, beginning with Madhvacharya himself, has very strongly established that the Supreme is a person, as opposed to the Kevaladvaita monism of Shankaracharya. And the logical conclusion of personalism is that he's the greatest person means he's not just great in terms of creating universes and punishing people and sitting on high seats, but he should also be the most charming, beautiful, kind, loving, joking person. We come to Rasavichar. So Radha Krishna is a very difficult subject for the philosophers. Those who try to philosophize, they usually end up in some kind of mess, saying that Radha symbolizes this and Krishna symbolizes that, and they get it all mixed up. There are so many strange ideas. Radha is an expansion of Durga. That's why we don't discuss the pastimes of Radha and Krishna openly, because it's a very high subject. And without proper understanding, there must be misunderstanding. But the ultimate person, if we are to accept that God is a person, then surely He's not just sitting on a throne and giving out blessings. He must be, He Himself establishes Himself as the supreme enjoyer. Aham hi sarva yajnanam bhokta cha prabhurevacha. He is the supreme enjoyer. So the supreme enjoyer is Krishna, and the supreme enjoyed is Radha. This is on the platform of Rasavichar. It's a very high topic. It's not one to be entered into cheaply. But from the standpoint of Rasavichar, then the Ras Leela must be there. Krishna enjoying with the gopis. Ananda Chinmaya Rasa Pratipavitabhis. Tabhirya eva nijarupa taya kalabhihi. Does anyone know the translation of this? Roughly, you don't have to give Bhaktisiddhanta's very difficult English translation. Do you know the translation of this? From Brahma Samhita? Anyone? Anyone? No? Alright. Not really alright. You should know. This is a verse which Prabhupada, if you read his books, which I hope you should be doing, you'll find this verse Srila Prabhupada quoted often. It's half a verse from Brahma Samhita, which states that Krishna's pastimes, they are of the nature of spiritual enjoyment, and the gopis, it indicates the gopis, they are expansions of Krishna, expanded for his own enjoyment. So there is actually a very great philosophical understanding behind all of this. But the point is, if we see from the standpoint of Rasavichar, then Krishna is the supreme enjoyer. There is Radha Krishna. And then taking this even further, that Krishna himself comes as a devotee to taste the sweetness of himself. Krishna is the most beautiful. Krishna is the object of love for all pure devotees. So he himself wonders, well, what so? It must be wonderful to relish my sweetness, but I can't do it because I'm me. So he takes the position of Radharani to relish his own sweetness, to taste to experience the happiness that she experiences in association with him. So this is understandable from the point of Rasa Tattva, and much has been written about this. We have a very great philosophical background. It would be better, I may suggest, that you all make a habit of reading Srila Prabhupada's books, because just asking a few questions this evening, it seems that even though undoubtedly you are very dedicated devotees, but Srila Prabhupada, he once said that the only complaint I have about my disciples is that they don't read my books. So we don't want to make a parampara of not reading the books. Actually, Prabhupada had many more complaints also. And actually, we did read the books. at least by the time I joined, it was a sacred duty of devotees to read Prabhupada's books. So please read. I am trying to enforce a stipulation for those who are initiated by myself that they should have read at least the first two cantos of Bhagavatam before taking first initiation. The idea is if you read two cantos, you'll want to read the rest also. And if you don't, then you'll never get in the habit of reading, and then you miss your whole life. The main gift that Prabhupada gave us, which he himself said is his main contribution, is his books. So one devotee, he was complaining and moaning and groaning and I have no time and this and all the usual excuses, and wasn't reading, and eventually he surrendered and actually read two cantos of Bhagavatam, and he said, oh, what a difference it makes to a whole understanding of Krishna consciousness. You're cheating yourselves if you don't read the books. You're missing what Prabhupada gave us. So, if you read Prabhupada's books, you get the essence, as Srila Prabhupada himself said. He said, by reading my books, you get in touch with all the previous acharyas. So the acharyas, they are distinguished. You will find most of those who are known as great acharyas that we see here also. There's Gorky Shodas, Babaji Maharaj. I suggest you put the picture of Bhaktivinoda Thakur up a bit so it's not below Gorky Shodas, because the guru should be above his disciple, not below. The Gorky Shodas Babaji Maharaj, he wasn't, from the external point of view, very literate, although Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he professed to have actually understood Krishna consciousness after coming in contact with Gorky Shodas Babaji Maharaj. But anyway, there are many devotees who are gurus in the history of the Sampradaya, but especially those who make a major literary contribution, they are known as acharyas. They guide the Sampradaya by their literary contribution. So we'll find that. The six Goswamis, they all wrote, with the exception of Raghunath Bhatta, we have books from them all. And Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, Narottam, Vishwanath, Baladev, Bhaktivinod, Bhaktisiddhanta, Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. These are the names of the... There are many other gurus, but those who have... particularly those who have enhanced the Sampradaya, or brought more points to light, or countered various contentious points, they are known as the acharyas. So we have a very great literary background, not just philosophical. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he came, and like I was saying, some people may just think, well, he's Vishvambha Mishra, he's a son of a Brahmin. There's so many Mishras. Any Mishras here in this room? Anyone with the name Mishra? There are so many Mishras in India. Probably everyone's come across or knows a Mishra somewhere, here or there. It's a common Brahmin name. So this Vishvambha, he is not just another son of a Brahmin, but he, although the mundane academics, they see him as just some kind of overly emotional person, but he gave rise to a tremendous literary, philosophical, poetic, artistic, in all aspects of art. He gave rise to a tremendous outpouring of philosophy and literature, which is going on till the present day. And the contributions, the philosophical contribution, I think you better please just take it. The philosophical contribution of Jiva Goswami, taking what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, the Srimad Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted Srimad Bhagavatam as the topmost evidence. And Jiva Goswami, how he has established Srimad Bhagavatam as the topmost evidence. Every point that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught is summarized in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Generally, we like to hear stories from Chaitanya Charitamrita, but there are many stories, and there's all the essence of Srimad Bhagavatam philosophy is there. Chanting japa, not during class, please. You can't listen to both. So it's not just some stories for our entertainment, but it's in Chaitanya Charitamrita is presented and summarized the essence of Srimad Bhagavatam. And there are probably several hundred quotes from Srimad Bhagavatam and other important literary works. So Jiva Goswami in his Sandarbhas has established why the Srimad Bhagavatam is to be accepted as the topmost evidence, and having done that, he establishes all the teachings of Chaitanya Charitamrita, teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as presented in Chaitanya Charitamrita with evidence from Srimad Bhagavatam. So that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave rise to a very highly cultured and philosophical ethos. That also is to be considered. Now, this is not something ordinary. The writings of Srimad Bhagavatam, the philosophical basis which supports the Gita Govinda, personalities such as Narottam Das, Vishwanath Chakravarti, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, our own Prabhupada, these are not ordinary persons. Of course, there are many religious people in the history of the world, but practically, if we examine the teachings that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given, Ramya Kachidupasana Vrajabadhu Vargena Ya Kalpita, particularly this, that the gopis, how they have served Krishna, is the topmost manner of serving. This is, it's unheard of, it's unknown in any tradition throughout the world, and even there may be some indications of that or something similar to that. Just like that said in the Sri Sampradaya, the Andal, her worship of the Lord. Of course, it's not exactly the same as the Gopikas. But then the whole philosophical analysis behind it. If we are to examine the subject matter of God and how to approach Him, then definitely there is no higher theistic concept than that given by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And that those who have presented this theistic concept have done so in a highly philosophical manner and have also presented Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as that same Krishna come to taste the sweetness of Himself. This also should be accepted as evidence that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the Supreme Lord. It's possible to understand this, if one has a very purified and philosophical outlook. Sarvabhaumabhatta Acharya was converted by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He was a Mayavadi, and one who believed that the Supreme has no form. This was often cited by Srila Prabhupada. Sarvabhaumabhatta Acharya and other great scholars were converted to, they accepted him as the Supreme Lord. Now Sarvabhauma, he was considered the greatest pundit in India. And nowadays we have no idea what pundits mean. We have no idea. But people, there was a very high culture of learning. And he wasn't going to accept that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the Supreme Lord. He wasn't going to accept it very easily. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu first came to Puri, he came alone. Of course, he came with Nityananda, Mukunda, Jagadananda. They came on the road with him, but he left circumstantially. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left them behind and entered Puri alone. When he entered the temple, he ran toward Jagannath and then fell down, fainting in ecstasy. And the guards, they wanted to beat him. They thought it was some kind of disturbance. Who is this? But Sarvabhaumabhatta Acharya happened to be there, and he was a more cultured person than the guards, and he had Chaitanya Mahaprabhu carried to his house, to Sarvabhauma's house, which wasn't very far. If you've been to Puri, you've probably visited Sarvabhaumabhatta Acharya's house. It's not very far from the temple. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was lying there, just unconscious in ecstasy, and Sarvabhauma was afraid that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had actually died, but he put a cotton swab before his nose and saw there was some slight movement of air was going on. So then he was, he could understand that Chaitanya, this sannyasi, didn't know who he was alive. Later on, or shortly after, Nityananda, Mukunda Datta and Jagadananda came, and they got news of one sannyasi who had come, and they met Gopinath Acharya, who is the brother-in-law of Sarvabhaumabhatta Acharya. They met him in the temple, and they got this news, and that some sannyasi had come and fallen down in the temple. Sarvabhauma had taken him to his house. Now Gopinath Acharya was the brother-in-law, and actually Gopinath Acharya and Sarvabhaumabhatta Acharya, they're both from originally from the Navadvip area. And Gopinath Acharya was a great devotee of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and accepted him as the personality of Godhead. Sarvabhauma didn't really know much about him, and he didn't. The Mayavadis, they know about avatars of Vishnu, and they think everything's Maya. Therefore, they're called Mayavadis. So Sarvabhauma, he wasn't going to very easily accept that the Supreme is a person, let alone that this sannyasi is the Supreme Lord. So there was some discussion between even before Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came. Gopinath Acharya would always taunt. Do you know what taunt means? It means like to poke someone in a joking way. Oh, you're just a big Mayavadi. You're a big scholar, but you don't know anything. This would be an example of saying it in a laughing way. Because he's the Shala. You know, they can say like this. There's some joking between them. He was always getting on the case of Sarvabhauma. Now, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had come to his house, there was some discussion. Eventually, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu revived by the chanting of the holy names. And Gopinath was saying to Sarvabhauma, this is the Supreme Lord. And there was some discussion between them on these very points. Sarvabhauma said, well, how can it be an avatar when there's... He's called Triyuga. And then the same point that I just mentioned, Gopinatha Acharya cited from Mahabharata. And ultimately, Gopinatha Acharya, he cited, oh, there was some discussion between Gopinatha Acharya and the disciples of Sarvabhauma, who asked him that, well, how come you accept, if he's actually the Supreme Lord, then why don't we accept, you know, we're Shastric scholars, we should accept. And Gopinath cited a verse from Srimad Bhagavatam, Atapite deva padam buja dvayam prasadale shanu grihita eva hi janati tatvang bhagavang mahim no nachanya e kopi chirang vichinvang. He said that only one who has got a slight drop of the mercy of Krishna can understand that he is the Supreme Lord. Others can't. Even after studying for so many, many lives, they can't understand. They have to have a drop of his mercy. And the Mayavadi's attitude is offensive, so they don't get Krishna's mercy. So Gopinatha Acharya said, you see, you're such a fool, the Supreme Lord is present in your house and you can't even recognize him. Such symptoms of ecstasy are not possible for a human being. So that's another important point, isn't it? That such symptoms of ecstasy, they're not heard of elsewhere. We've never heard of such things anywhere. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, sometimes Kurma Rupa, all his limbs, all his hands and legs and his head would enter his trunk, or sometimes they'd become loose and only the skin would hold them together. So those who've got the mercy, they can understand. Well, you might say, well, anyone can say that. And in fact, there was one so-called incarnation of God in America when Srila Prabhupada was there. A young boy, about 15 or 16 years old, had come from India, and he was saying he was Krishna. And he had quite a big following of foolish people. And we'd say, well, how can you accept him as Krishna? He said, well, you have to get the mercy, then you can understand. So anyone, you see, Sai Baba's Bhagavan, we don't understand. Well, you didn't get the mercy, then you can't understand. The point is not just mercy, but there should be Shastric backing also. Otherwise, anyone can say that. Actually, by the way, I forgot to tell you, I am the Supreme Lord. I, Bhakti Vikas Swami, am the Supreme Lord. Do you accept it? No, you didn't get the mercy. That's the problem. See, anyone can say it, you know, even an idiot like me, and, you know, there are plenty of bigger idiots who are ready to accept. You know, people complain about our ISKCON gurus accepting all this worship and this and that. You know, why just be a guru? You can be God yourself. In fact, it came in the newspaper about 2 years ago, in the English newspaper, an unemployed man from England had become a Hindu goddess. Yeah, he went to India, and in one temple in Gujarat, he was there in a sari, and people were coming and worshipping him. Said, it's great, you know, they worship me, they give me nice food, I don't mind being a vegetarian, it's better than being unemployed in England. So there you go. Don't worry about the recession. You can become God. It's a good way to make a living. Don't worry about the cold in England, because the place you'll be going to will be hot enough for pretending to be God. You'll have a long, hot stay in a very hot place, guest of Yamaraj. So, it's mercy is there to understand. But there should be Shastra Praman also. But ultimately one has to have the mercy to understand. The Mayavadis cannot understand that Krishna is the Supreme Lord. And even there are devotees of Krishna whose approach or understanding to Krishna is, in the words of Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, a somewhat crippled approach, because they only see him as supreme. Mother Yashoda's understanding of Krishna, she's not a philosopher, that's why she's Mother Yashoda. Her understanding of Krishna is far superior to that of persons who recite Vedic mantras in glorification of Krishna. Now, we're not saying reciting Vedic mantras in glorification of Krishna is bad. It's very good. But the spontaneous love of the Vrajavasis that is most pleasing to Krishna. And bhakti means to please Krishna, not just to appreciate him, but to please him. And only the Vrajavasis are that much qualified that they can climb on the back of Krishna, his friends, or Mother Yashoda, tie him up, or the gopis, kiss him. So, to understand Krishna in this way requires some special mercy. And to understand Chaitanya Mahaprabhu requires some special mercy. You accept him as supreme. That is your good fortune. You will be benefited by that. You are being benefited by that. But you should also know how to establish that. Otherwise, how can we preach? Then, it's a kind of blind faith. Of course, to have blind faith in the right thing is good. Usually blind faith, it means in the wrong thing. If you have blind faith in the right thing, that's our good luck. But that's considered to be a neophyte standard of bhakti. We just accept it because, well, seems good. But we should be able to substantiate that also, especially if we are to preach. Of course, anyone can preach, but if we preach without what is described in Chaitanya Charitamrita as Shastra Yukti, or reasoning based on Shastra, then according to Chaitanya Charitamrita, that is it's not a very developed level of bhakti. So we can bring in more and more people who accept blindly the right thing, and to accept the right thing even blindly is good, but it's not a very strong level. And Srila Prabhupada wanted his followers to understand all these points also. So ultimately it's a matter of faith. Blind or not blind, everything ultimately comes down to faith. Even science, they say, is not faith, it's proved. But everything ultimately rests on some axioms. You can't prove anything to anyone without some axioms that you all agree on to start with. Otherwise, you can't prove anything. How can we prove that Manama is the capital of Bahrain? Well, they say, well, everyone agrees. Well, I don't agree. So you didn't prove it to me. So if we're dog obstinate, then you can't prove anything. You can say it's all a big hoax. Actually, New York is the capital of Bahrain. Maybe it is, I don't know. Maybe it's all Washington is the capital. It's more likely. But anything. This color is yellow. No, it's not. You're illusioned. It's blue. You can say, I see it as blue. So, who's right? If you want, you can argue, even at a ridiculous level. So, ultimately, everything rests on some faith is there. Some faith should be there. But faith That should be based on Shastric understanding. Now we can say, well, Mother Yashoda, she didn't have Shastric understanding. That's true, but then Krishna comes as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and all his associates come as his devotees who write books and preach on the basis of Shastra. So in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission, the spontaneous love of the Vrajavasis, they write books and they present philosophical understanding. Nana Shastra Vichara Naika Nipuno Sadharma Samsthapako Loka Nam Hitakari No Tribhuvane Manyo Sharanyakaro. The six Goswamis, who are all gopis in their Vraja identities, they all took the trouble to write many books to establish the eternal dharma, or the actual dharma, which are the teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So we should also try to understand this. Of course, this is not an exhaustive understanding of how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the Supreme Lord, but we should think about that. Otherwise, just like I was saying, Sai Baba, there are so many Sai Baba followers. I'm sure there are many in Bahrain also. Is it? They say followers, there's nothing really to follow, but that word is used. So, how are you going to contend with this? They say, well, Sai Baba, and you say Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Okay, you believe what you like, I believe what I like, and it just comes down to a matter of personal opinion. But we should establish everything on the basis of Shastra, which is why Srila Prabhupada worked hard, literally day and night, writing books to establish the Krishna consciousness. He himself said, to establish the Krishna consciousness movement on a solid basis. So we will become solid by understanding the knowledge in these books. That's in that verse I was quoting. Gopinath Acharya said that. He said, later on I'll see Sarvabhauma. He'll get the mercy. He's been respectful to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He'll get the mercy. He'll also quote this same verse in future when he gets the mercy, when the mercy becomes manifest in his heart. Well, that happened shortly afterward. When Prataparudra Maharaj asked Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, after Sarvabhauma had become a devotee, Raja Kohe, that's Prataparudra Maharaj. Shastra Pramane Chaitanya Hon Krishna. He said that by Shastra Praman, by the evidence of Shastra, Chaitanya is Krishna. So they were all convinced by Shastra Praman. To tobe kene pandit shab taha te vitrishna. So why are there so many big scholars? Why are they not attracted to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? And Sarvabhauma gave the same answer. Atapite deva padambuja dvayam prasadale shanugrihita eva hi janati tatvang bhagavang mahimno nachanya ekopi chirang vichinva. Those who get a little drop of the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they can understand that he's Krishna. Others, they won't, even if they're very great scholars. So how to give people that mercy? Well, the best way is to give them Prabhupada's books. Distribute Srila Prabhupada's books. Public Harinam. Of course, these things are a little difficult in Bahrain. But the devotees, they carry the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So it's the duty of the devotees of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to spread that mercy and establish faith in others. There are two kinds of faith. There's ordinary faith, Lokik Shraddha, general faith, which that can easily get contaminated. Generally it is contaminated. mixed up with all kinds of wrong ideas. Just like we see in Bengal, there are so many people who identify themselves as devotees of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with so many mixed up ideas, so many wrong ideas. And that's already begun to happen in our ISKCON, inevitably, I guess. Probably because people aren't reading Prabhupada's books, all kinds of funny ideas are coming out. If you want to know what they are, just go and have a look on the internet. In the name of Prabhupada, so many funny ideas. So how can we know what is correct? One of our leaders in ISKCON is promoting homosexual unions, that it's okay, it's good, we should encourage this. Yeah. That anyway there are homosexuals there, so we should encourage them to be together in Krishna consciousness. And recently he gave his blessings to a homosexual marriage and said that your love for each other reflects the love of the Supreme Lord for everyone. Which is bogus. Even though he's a big leader in our society, I have to say it's completely bogus. But he'll cite Shastra, this, that, the other. What are you going to do? What do you think? You have to know Prabhupada's books very deeply to find out what is the fault there. It's a case of what's called the devil quoting scripture. You'll quote scripture to, just like you'll find the Christians, they use the Bible to, in the history of Christianity, to justify the killing of Christians and Muslims and everyone else, anyone they wanted to kill. That's one reason why it's one of the main arguments for atheism in the Western world, that the religion has been so badly misused. Christians, I think most, they kill a lot of Muslims, but I think mostly the most number of people killed by Christians, they kill lots of Jews too, but the most number of people they killed in the name of the Bible was other Christians. So, our knowledge of, it's a time when we really have to understand what's in Srila Prabhupada's books and all the whole philosophical approach to understanding them. Otherwise, not only from outside, people challenge us. How can you accept Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as the Supreme Lord? Shastric evidence is there. We do have Shastric evidence. They'll say there isn't Shastric evidence. There are many others also. I just gave these two. These are the main ones from Srimad Bhagavatam and Mahabharata. Also the effect of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in his preaching, that he could convert such big scholars. These are not just small timers. The writings, the intellectual efflorescence, which means expansion, that followed Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Rasa Vichar, these are all different. The fact that something of such substance has spread widely all over the world, these are all factors which lead us to believe that we shouldn't, at the very least, we shouldn't take Chaitanya Mahaprabhu very lightly. Just like that Madhva boy. He could see so many devotees coming with obvious devotion. Something, he could sense that something real, something very valuable is there. How has that come? Give me Shastra Praman and I'll accept it, because he could see there's something real devotion is there. It's not just a formality, and it's in the hearts of people who are not expected to be devotees at all. They're not in any Vaishnav family or even in any Indian family. From people who have no contact with this culture whatsoever. So that's another kind of evidence. So presenting all of these helps to establish our faith. All right, I won't speak more about this now. Are there any questions on this? And I'll speak some more if there are any questions on this. If there are, yes, please.
Maharaj, we say we call ourselves the Brahma Madhu Gaudiya line.
Did I say that in the lecture?
In a sense, in ISKCON we follow the Brahma Madhu Gaudiya.
Yeah, Brahma Madhu Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya.
But we don't really quote much from the Madhva line.
We don't quote much from the Madhva line. Well, we do. If you read Prabhupada's books, you'll find that he often quotes Madhvacharya.
And that's Madhva line also
speaks. There are definite differences between the pristine Madhva line and the Gaudiya line. And there are very distinct philosophical differences. This year in Udupi, I was there from approximately the... Anyway, we had a festival there at the beginning of January, and the incumbent, what they call the Pariyai Swami, he gave a very, very good welcome to all our devotees. And in public, he welcomed us, several hundred devotees. And I mentioned in lecture, we both lectured on a stage together, and he kept on saying, we're the same Sampradaya. So he knows that there are differences, but at the same time he recognizes that the differences are not what's important. The important thing is the devotion to Krishna that we're attempting to cultivate. That is our goal. So yeah, the differences are there. And not all Madhvas are like that. Some are stridently against the Gaudiya line. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted identification in the Madhva line particularly because of Madhva's total refutation of Shankaracharya's Kevaladvaitavad, particularly for that reason. Don't think Mayavad is just some small thing. It's a very big obstacle to bhakti. Okay, well, we'll finish there. Hare Krishna, thank you for coming. I was talking about writing books, and now...